cut out the name Jesus. They've tried for thousands of years, and it just is not going to happen. And I love it. And so we don't fear the fact that he's coming. We should be rejoicing in that, praising in that. Never fear. Some of you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. I just got married. Well, I've been married for a year and a half. Or I've been married for a long time. He's coming, and I love it. That is the foremost, right? And if anything, I'll never have to finish that wall if he will come today. And so that's my prayer. We are in Acts chapter 11, by the way. Acts chapter 11. Have you ever had an occasion where you needed to share something with others, and before you were arrived to share it, the news beat you there? Anybody ever had that? Sometimes bits and pieces get shared, but the heart of the message doesn't make it to the hearer's ears before they get the whole story, and the message gets distorted ever so slightly, and then you don't get to share what it was that you wanted to share. And so in our passage today, we're going to see that. We're going to witness how Peter will have to retell what happened at Cornelius' house. And I love it because he refers to it as the man, the man's house. We went to the man's house. He never uses Cornelius' name. But he's going to share about the incident that we read about last week, but not before opinions will begin to rise. The beginning of the Church of Jesus is going to be opened up to all mankind. And it will not be without problems, it will not be without prejudice, it will not be without pride. And I believe that that's probably one of the biggest issues in the church today that exists, is that what exists today existed back then when the church was just beginning. What am I speaking of? And by the way, I'm talking about the universal church, the church at large. It isn't any specific church or denomination, but the universal church at large. What do I mean by that? Oftentimes, people find it difficult to connect themselves with people who are not like them. That's one of the reasons why we have so many denominations. I don't really connect with those people, but we become comfortable and safe with people who are just like us. We have the same ideology. They just seem to gel together with us. You have those people, and those are the people that we generally will go to and gather around. Now, they may be Republicans, they may be Democrats, and seldom do we ever allow ourselves to cross over to one another. Now, what do I mean by that? I've even heard comments where people say, how can somebody be a Democrat and be saved? I myself have used that term at times. If there's anybody else in it by the laughs, I'm sure there are others who may have felt the same way. Or I'm just the only one. So, but sadly, I know that that's a form of prejudice. And at best, it could be a bias against some of God's people. But at the core of a liberal and conservative's bias is the issue of the heart. And so we're going to see a lot of that in the next couple of chapters. We're going to see how the Church of Jesus Christ begins to start to try to sort out and how we try to, or they try to, meld with one another. But it is the issue of the heart. And if you've been here with any length of time, often you've heard me expel Jeremiah 17:9, right? If you're taking notes, Jeremiah 17:9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. While we were eating, I heard Lorelei speak about studying or going through the book of Isaiah, and we're going to go through Jeremiah next. And so when you get to Jeremiah, you'll get verses like this. The heart is desperately wicked. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Who knows that? God. He says, I know. I search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And I need to say that if you're tired of hearing me constantly preach that verse, I'm with you. I'm sick of it too. But how do I reconcile the goofy things that my heart does? Now, I may be the only one that does that. Nobody else in the room may do things that are contrary to what God would have us to do. Unless we attempt to pull a Flip Wilson and say, the devil made me do it. It still won't fly with God. Your heart, my heart, is wicked. It's wicked. And you can sit there and say that it's not. And the reason that I opened with that is because that is what we're going to see today in Acts 11. If you recall, we left off last week with Cornelius' household being filled with the Holy Spirit. They get saved, they get baptized, and Peter stays with them to teach them. They need to be taught the elementary doctrines of the gospel. And I have to say this, that it's very important that after people, matter of fact, I think it's even more important than somebody acknowledging that they want Jesus as Savior. Let me say that again. Even more important than well, if you want to use saying the sinner's prayer, you can do that. But saying I'm making a decision for Jesus is one thing, but now studying about him is another thing. Too many people often at crusades that I had been to, been a part of, helped work at, did security at, the issue was in getting the number of people that actually make a commitment to the Lord. And they try the best they can to put cards or give people cards of churches, local churches they can go to learn about the Lord. I was one such person that just kind of shied away from that. I didn't want people telling me, you need to go here, you need to go do that. Giving your heart in September 86 at the Louis Plow Crusade in Fresno. And the very next thing they asked me is like, we would like to get you plugged into a church. And I'm like, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to go to the church. Because at that time I was of a grandma religion. And I figured as long as I keep going twice a year to that grandma religion church, I'm okay, I'm good. But they were trying to get me into a place that would teach me the Bible. And so we have to be able to do that. And Peter spent time with them there. See, the essentials of the Christian faith are and cannot be perverted with an institution's bias. What do I mean by that? There's a lot of denominations that will attempt to try to bring about their bias or what they think should be doctrinal things that people need to study or maybe need to believe. But this happens quite often. I was shocked years ago when I first started the process of studying and doing all these things and learning the different denominations and what they believe and why they believe it. But the essentials cannot be compromised. What are they? God exists and we're not him. There is a God and we're not him. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is outlined in the Word of God is an essential. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remissions of our sins. Also repentance of those sins. The filling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. That thing got so whacked out. I'm so thankful we did a 12-week study of that. But the Holy Spirit is very central in the life of the believer. And also the fact that, as I said earlier, Christ will come again to receive those who are his. There's a lot of people who claim to be his. And I guess the thing is, he knows who are his. Because he says, my sheep know my voice and they hear me. And my question is, are you hearing what the Spirit is saying? See, when religious entities attempt to pervert those essentials, then they risk becoming cultish. They begin to do cultish things. What do I mean by that? They try to add Jesus plus something else, whatever it is. And there's, like I said earlier, there's denominations that claim to be Christians, but they deny the essentials. Did you know that Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be Christians? Mormons claim to be Christians, but they perverted the essentials of the faith. Trust me, would you serve a Jesus who his brother is Satan, Lucifer? Would you serve someone like, oh, that's my brother, he's Satan. I would have to question that because the God I serve is holy and there's no part of him that has a relative that is unholy, right? But that's what some of the people believe. And they actually believe that they are going to heaven. It's a different heaven. And I'm not here to espouse that or anything like that, but we need to, as believers of Christ, we need to learn about what is in this book and not the things that we feel need to be taught, but what exactly the word is actually given to us. See, when people tell us that we need to be a certain way or we need to act a certain way, you need to dress a certain way, or you need to follow them, then you really need to have some discernment on what it is that they're following, okay? Because Jesus didn't come to tell us what our lives were supposed to be like. He came so that we could have our sins forgiven, and he's created each and every one of us uniquely. So how can we be in a place where we're all the same? You can't wear piercings. You can't wear, you know, whatever. I'm not going to go too far in that because I'm going to get myself in big trouble. But you can't have hair like Al's, you know. I would never fit in. was watching a program out of Andy Griffith, and everybody was so clean cut, and like the 60s, I'm like, look at that. I would have been a hippie in that day. And that was only in the 60s. But think about that. People want you to be it develops a culture of certain type of people. And that's where, and I'll share a little bit more about that later, and also next week, that's where the word cult comes from. It comes from culture. Everybody is the same. We all do the same thing. And what's happened is that, what's going to happen in our story, is that when the Jewish Christians hear what happens, they're kind of taken back by it. And they want to try to tell Peter, hey, there's something wrong here with what you did. But I want you to keep that in mind about the gospel and cults, because in the next couple of chapters, it's going to rear its head. And I'll explain more about that later on when you're here. Now, we know that Peter was instrumental in sharing the gospel to the Gentiles and is now back in Jerusalem thinking that it's going to be neat to share. I can tell you, man, if that was me and I was able to share to a bunch of pagan people, people that had never even honored God or never even worshiped God, I'd be coming back going, man, this is a high. You guys, you should have seen it. But we're going to see in verse 1, that's not what happens. So look with me, verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So we have read that the word has already gotten to Jerusalem before Peter did. But one has to wonder what method of travel got it there. You ever think like that? They already heard. He isn't even there yet. How did it get there? Camel? Donkey? Horse? We know it wasn't Facebook. Maybe by foot? Needless to say, it got there very quickly. And in that day, how it got there, I don't know. But we're not sure how long Peter stayed with Cornelius. Some commentators say it was about 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know. It just says many days. If you look back at chapter 10, it says he stayed there many days. But needless to say that the information was disseminated by someone. Today, we have the internet. And news travels very, very fast, right? In seconds, I can get information from Boston to here. We can get information from around the world on our phones, TV. I mean, that's crazy in itself, the fact that it used to be the TV, right? Your parents made you go, for us, older folks, your parents made you go change the channel for them because there was no remotes. You were the remote. I was the remote. And if the news from Walter Cronkite, and we were just glued to it, like, because whatever Walter said was true. And now people have their phones. They could be anywhere. They don't have to sit around their house. They can leave. Oh, by the way, I need to see what's on the news today. But the news travels, and it travels very fast. Many times the news, though, can be incomplete, often filled with untruths. And that's why gossip is so destructive in this day and age. Very, very destructive. I'm so glad that it doesn't happen in the church. I love this little ditty. Winston Churchill exemplified integrity and respect in the face of opposition. During his last year in office, he attended an official ceremony. Several rows behind him, two gentlemen began whispering, "That's Winston Churchill. They say he's getting senile. They say he should step aside and leave the running of the nation to more dynamic and capable men." And when the ceremony was over, Churchill turned to the men and said, "Gentlemen, they also say he's deaf." I love that. Busted, can't be trusted, right? It's like when you get a text that was intended for somebody else, right? And it's about you. We need to be careful. We need to be careful, right? It's like that song, little children's songs, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see," right? You guys know that, right? But there's verses in it that says, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Things said and things heard." Watch how Jeremiah 17:9 comes back into play in this question. And here's the question. Have you ever found yourself sharing something about someone, and right in the middle of your sharing, the thought comes, "You need to stop now. You need to stop. Don't say another word. You never had that, right? I'm the only one that ever had that, okay? We're going to have a confessional after. When you get the thought, you need to stop. Is it not hard to stop the trap when it opens? It's like, stop. Well, I can't. I just got to keep going. But how do we curb that for the two of us that did that? And Lord have mercy on the 12 that lied. I love what Alan Redpath says, what he does. He says, I once formed a mutual encouragement fellowship at a time of stress in one of my pastorates. The members subscribed to a simple formula applied before speaking of any person or subject that was perhaps controversial. And watch how this would end all news forecasts, okay? And it's the acronym THINK. Most of you have seen that. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? If what I'm about to say does not pass those tests, I'll keep my mouth shut. And it worked. There would be a lot of dead air on the news channels if they followed the word THINK. And probably a lot of that for you and I as well. Now, back to our study. There's no charge for that little bit of exhortation, how to control yourselves. It was fruitless anyway.
Just put a dollar more on it.
Or if you have actually been the one that did that, put $15 there. And when you leave, if there's like $3,000 in there, I'm going to know you guys lied.
Could you say the words to the THINK again?
Yes. Is it true? Is it helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind? Got it?
Yeah.
Very good.
So then we're never going to talk about North Korea or Muslim terrorists or
anything. Well, is it true?
Yeah, well, if only one of those is nothing.
Okay. Is it helpful? We can find a way around this everywhere, right? Is it helpful? Well, yes, we wanted everybody to know. Is it necessary? Is it kind? See, all of those really are kind of helpful. So back to our study. Verse 2. So when Peter came up to Jerusalem, verse 2, those of the circumcision contended with him. Now, I'm not going to go into explicitly what that is talking about. I'll leave it to you to Google it, and you'll be fine. I can just see, though, oh, Peter, how are you? How did it go, right? He got back to Jerusalem. How did it go? Good to have you back, Peter. But we know that that's not exactly how it went. The Jewish-born believers began to jump on Peter for hanging out and eating with Gentiles. Remember, these folks had already received the gospel. Here's the problem. And were followers of Jesus, but they still had a hard time renouncing their culture and their cultic ways. They were already Christians, but they felt that they needed to hang on to their traditions as well. They struggled with their religious habits and their upbringings. They had supposed that if a people received the gospel, that they had to be like them. Verse 3 says, saying, these are what they told him, you went in, and here's how I'm going to read this. You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them? It's like, what were you thinking? What would be the modern day equivalent of that today? Can anybody tell me? I can tell you. You went and did grief share at Free Methodist Church? Yeah. How about if you reverse it? You went to a Bible study up on Fort Hill? Don't you know those people are weird up there? But that's what happens. That's why we see a lot of the disconnect with different denominations and different bodies of Christ, because they're not like us. They could feel uncomfortable when they're in a place. But when they're all of Jesus, when that's where their heart is, there is no uncomfortableness. The only uncomfortableness that we have is what's in our hearts when we go there. I have had the luxury of being in the Calvary Chapel in Sheridan. I've had the blessing of being in the Mennonite Church in Sheridan. I had the blessing to be in the Free Methodist Church. I've had the blessing of being in the Christian Church here in Wilhelmina as well. And never once did I ever feel like I was a weirdo. They might have thought I was, but I didn't feel like I was a weirdo, because they made me feel welcome, because I knew that Jesus was why they were there. And that's one of the reasons why we're here as well. Our hearts, the things that we think in our hearts, can be so demoralizing to us. They can cripple us if we're not careful. By way of illustration, I can remember in California when we needed a place to get out of our house because we had about 25 people at that time. And we went to the Seventh-day Adventist and we sat with them and I talked with them about renting their building. And they were very down on people renting their building because another group had ruined their sound system. So we assured them that, well, I did get some counsel before I went in there. That's the thing to do. You get wise counsel. And the pastor friend of mine says, Al, make sure that you tell them that you were affiliated with Fresno Police Department. And I'm thinking, this is a church. What do they care about police? So make sure you would tell them that that's your background. So when Lynn and I went in there, we were at this conference table, and there's like 12 people in there. Talk about being nervous. So we're telling them all about our ministry and who we are. Do you know Chuck Smith? No. Do you know Greg Laurie or Raul Reed? No. I bet some of you never heard that in here. But that is the epitome of Calvary Chapel in Southern California. They didn't know nothing, but what they did know was that I used to be a policeman. And they said, well, we'll let you know at the end of the week if we will accept your offer. How much would you guys, if we do, how much would you be willing, could you be willing to rent? I said, probably little or nothing. Because we're meeting in a house right now. We didn't even have tithe at that time. So they called me about a week later and they said, the board has agreed to accept you guys. And I'll tell you what, can you afford $200 a month? I said, we'll make it somehow. Well, we'll do it every 6 months. We'll take, we'll look at it and see if it works for you, it works for us. We still have that relationship to this day. That was in 2009, August of 2000. This is 10 years next month, if you can believe that. And we still rent the building from them. But no sooner did I secure that or was able to secure it from the Lord, I get an email from a friend of mine in Fresno, 70 miles away, who had heard the great news, just like Peter. And it went something like this. Al, how can you, as a Christian, rent a building from the Seventh-day Adventists? And I had to literally break down to him and tell him, you know, it's just like Peter, bro. These are believers in Christ as well. So they have dietary laws. Big deal. At that time, I could have used those dietary laws. But we developed a relationship with them that was so strong that even to this day, we still have that relationship. But the brother that emailed me and we talked intently about it, I haven't heard from him in 10 years. We have nothing in common. But that's what religion can do to us. So we have to be careful with that. Now, culture and cultic practices can pervert our thinking and cause us to lack biblical discernment. It's not good to run into every case. By the way, he did ask me, so if the Jehovah's Witness offered you to use their building for free, would you do it? You better believe it. I would do it. Why? Because the gospel's being taught in that building. Right? We're not like Paul McCartney stuck inside these four walls, you know, sent inside forever. We're going to get Jesus out into the hearts of people. See how we think? But that belongs to them. Well, I got news for you. Everything on this planet belongs to God because he created it. And man has gone in a way to pervert that. But it all belongs to God, so surely I'll use their building for free. Jennifer, would you continue reading for us, verse 5 through 17?
I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in the trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth." But the voice answered me again from heaven, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who had said to him, "Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?
Amen. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Peter, in verse 4, it says he explained it to them in order from the beginning. And what he does, he gives them three pieces of evidence of what happened. In verses 5 through 11, he gives them the vision from God that he got. In verses 12 through 15 and verse 17, he gives them the witness of the Spirit. And in verse 16, he gives them the witness of the Word. Keep in mind that Peter is the one who rose up and spoke at the day of Pentecost, right? So it's not unheard of or not uncommon for these guys to listen to what Peter is saying about the event and believe it. Oh, that's what happened. I don't know, maybe was that what they heard? Obviously, they didn't hear everything because they're still contending with him, right? But these people are still hanging on to their previous upbringings, which, by the way, detested Gentiles. Why? Because they felt the Gentile was a pagan. In our discussion last week, when Lee brought up the issue of Romans, it had nothing to do with race or ethnicity. It had everything to do whether they were pagan or they were religious. And at that time, the Romans were pagans, just like the Gentiles. But these guys believed that they were unclean and they were not deserving. So what does that tell you about them? They felt that they were deserving and that they were clean before the Lord, not realizing the fact that none of them were like that. And we're going to see a little bit later in James. But they thought that they were better than them. This, of course, was how they were brought up since they were born. They had this ingrained in them day after day. And that being said, the Apostle Paul struggled tremendously with this until he had spent time with Jesus in Arabia. Galatians 3:26 through 29.
For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen. Paul is the one that penned that. And now you can see why the Jews take it so personally regarding why they don't accept Jesus as the Messiah. What does he say there? If you are Christ, everybody in here, are you a Christ? Okay, I hope so. I pray you are. Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Doesn't say anything in there because you are Jewish or you are an Israelite. If you are in Christ, and that's why they did not like him, because he came to take over. That was God. If they had known who he was, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing today. But no longer you would be heirs because of your heritage, but because of belief in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. How would you like it if you were an heir to Bill Gates, and then somebody came in and said, everybody as heirs of this fortune. And your amount after they gave each an equal share to everybody was $2. Now watch how, maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one that has a wicked heart. Okay? Because if the thing we're faced with today with the border crossings, what about if those people got it, right? Well, they do. I just read today that those that are coming to seek an asylum get $2,100 a month. I'm thinking, I'm going back and then standing there going, yo quiero Taco Bell. My name's Al Abdullah. I come from Pakistan and I want that $2,100. But look at how fast. See, when I first read that, I'm like, that's not right. God, that's not right. God's like, it's not your money. I'm like,
taxpayer money.
Well, if you're paying taxes, you better make sure you pay all of them, okay? And then you can claim that. Now, the issues of the heart. That's what the Jews were doing. How can the Gentiles be claimed as heirs if they're not Jews? How can that happen? And that's why they're contending with Peter. Verse 17, as Jennifer finished, if therefore Peter, he gets an out in this, by the way, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? It's about God and what God is doing. He's moving. But what a great line to say to those who contended with him. Hey, if God told me I had to do this, who was I to withstand God? Remember, he said that before to the Pharisees, right? Who are we? We're to listen to you or listen to God? We're going to listen to God. But what a great line. What a great word for us to hang on to when others question our associations with other believers who are not like us, right? Who am I to withstand them if God has saved them as well? So they may not be saved the way I was, or I may not be saved the way they were. Needless to say, they're saved. And the annals of time, when we see them in heaven, is it really going to matter? Because we believe the same thing. We believe the same essentials. But when people are not of the fellowship that we attend, and I said it before that Jesus is going to come, he's going to take back his church that he intended to build, and not the one that we think it should be. Because if you really think about it, throughout the years, we've kind of messed that thing up a little bit, right? Again, am I the only one that feels that? Okay. You might be having a great time at your fellowship. What I love up here, probably right now, we have probably maybe 3-4 different fellowships that are attending here. I love that. We'll break down those barriers of we can't go there, or they're not like us. Are they going to heaven? That's what I want to know. Are they going to heaven? Why are they going to heaven? Because of Jesus. Okay, then we are the same. But think about that for a moment. What do you suppose that people might think about those people that hold a Saturday evening Bible study up on Fort Hill? What do you think they think about? Because I'm going to tell you what I used to think. As a matter of fact, Tony, the church he came from, the pastor, previous pastor he was under, oh, I can say he doesn't live with John Reyna. I knew John Reyna years before I ever met him. Because I remember this gal inviting me to a Bible study in a house, and I'm thinking, in a house? And I was in this backyard on a Sunday morning going, who has church on a Sunday morning in a backyard with a pool? I thought it was kind of cool because I had a pool at the time. But I thought it was a cult. This guy's got to be a cult. It has to be. Why are they not in a building? Why are they not in a church? And then years later, here we are in a house up on a hill.
Where's the pool?
With no pool, but a fence. Well, it was either build a pool or build a fence, and so.
I've got a question real quick before we go too much further.
That's Justin interrupting me.
I think it's important.
Is it a question or a comment?
Well, kind of both.
I'll take the question.
If you go back to verse 9, and the voice from heaven tells Peter, what God has cleaned, you must not call common.
Right.
That doesn't just apply to food.
Right.
Does not apply to animals. That applies to what Jesus did for me and us by going on the cross and blessing us with his grace.
Okay.
Is that
your comment or your question?
Yes.
That's your comment? Okay, good. Help me out, Janet. Can you translate that for me?
The context.
He's giving Peter an illustration that he could understand why. You remember? He was hungry. Mm-hmm. And so he used food. Mm-hmm. And he threw down some In-N-Out on there and said, do not call that unclean. He threw down some ribs. He threw down food to say, whatever I have said, because the idea was, I've never eaten that, right? Because they felt they were kosher. They felt they were clean because of the Leviticus law. In Leviticus, remember, 11, remember? And that's what he's speaking about. So he got him at his very source of what it was that he was brought up with, his heritage, his traditions, and everything. But what God has cleansed, you shall not call common, okay? Now, if you look up the word unclean in the New Testament, it is always referred to as something evil. Jesus talked about it. They're unclean. He's talking about the pigs where the demons were in. They were unclean. Or the spirit, the unclean spirit. It's about things that are evil. But now that he's getting Peter to change the way he thinks, don't you call what God has cleansed unclean. Meaning, there's nothing clean. Everything is cleansed. There's nothing unclean, I should say. Everything is cleansed. It's not just you, Peter. It's not just the Jews that are clean. Because even they weren't clean, because a lot of them and still to this day are still in unbelief, right? That in itself keeps them unclean. So it's not the idea of the food issue or the person issue. Remember Jesus, last week when we went to study the issue of the heart? Because if we really think about it, in our hearts, how many unclean thoughts come out of our hearts in a week? Does it mean we're not saved? No. No. Remember in Galatians, since Justin got me off on a rabbit trail here, remember in Galatians where they're talking about the armor of God? It talks about the shield that we use that helps extinguish what? Fiery darts. Who do you suppose shoots those fiery darts? The enemy. The enemy is the one who's doing it, Satan. And so those unclean thoughts, I remember hearing a pastor talking about it, in the middle of the sermon, this thought comes out of nowhere. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, where's this coming from? Satan's attacking him. That's why we have to have people praying for us constantly. Not only while you're studying, while you're teaching, while you're greeting with people, because you're a target. You got a target on your back. But he said the thought that came in was so vile. I'm thinking, how could this be? And Paul talking about that in Romans chapter 7 and 8. How the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't do, I want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who could save me from this? Jesus. But those thoughts come into us. You know the difference between people who will actually admit the thoughts that come into their minds and the people that don't? Jesus already knows their thoughts. He knows all of our thoughts. And when we confess those thoughts, when we go before him and say, Lord, forgive me for that. I mean, how many times I will drive by and see someone and go, man, that's the reason why they're messed up. Because of the way they're dressed. Look how they're messed up. And the Lord's going, where did you get that from? And I start thinking, oh, where did that come from? I still have a flesh. And we think things that we shouldn't think. Well, let me rephrase that. I think things that I shouldn't think. But sometimes when those thoughts, when they're coming. So as far as the clean and unclean in there, he's getting to Peter's heart in that, you know what? There is no difference. What does our verse say in there? There is no Jew, no Gentile. There's no Greek, no whatever. There's no slave or free. There's no male or female. There is no difference. Where does the difference come from, though, from us? From our own hearts. We make the difference. We say what we want to do and what we don't want to. And then we'll go as far as saying, like Peter, the Lord said, and who was I to contend with him, right? Think about that for a moment. Where is my heart taking me when I do that? Now, what was your, you had a comment and a question, Justin, did I clarify it?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. He nixed it. He said, done. It's finished. You know, I believe that's what Jesus meant on the cross when he said, it is finished. Quit bringing it all back up again. It's finished. I've come. This is about your faith in me, not in religion, not in anything else. You know, it's cool because if we get a chance, like coming up here and having a study up in Fort Hill, I said it earlier that some people look at it and say, well, it's cult. I've even heard, you know, before, you know, Al, he's a cult leader, you know. I heard it in California, and I heard it here in Oregon as well. He's a cult leader. Well, what else do you tell a guy who teaches the Bible if you want to attack him? He's a cult leader, right? I mean, they're not going to say he's Mexican or he's, you know, Indian or whatever. He's Pakistani. That's not going to hurt me, right? He's a cult leader. Oh, man, how could you say that? Even though if what's happened up here is Acts 2:42, where the people up in Fort Hill devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread or enchiladas, and to prayer, right? That's what's happening up here. So if people, if they want to come and join that, they can. But that is certainly what should be said. But like, just like in our verses today, some of the Jews have a hard time accepting that. And we can enjoy being together without the C word up here. And I'm not talking about cancer either, right? I mean, I don't really pay any attention when people say that because I know that I'm not. Why would I do that? All I know is this. People are growing. And not only in their understanding of the word, but they're growing in their fellowship with one another as well. That's what that brings about. I was blessed. I'm blessed that Bonnie's here tonight because when she invited me to come to Free Methodist, we got a chance to fellowship with people here in Willamina that we didn't even know. Met some great saints there. We met Lorelei there. We met all kinds of other people there. And it was just neat to see that if when people extend themselves out, that they'll receive you as well. And so being up here, we're able to learn about the body of Christ and what the body of Christ should be, that we should all be of one heart, one mind, and one Lord. Why? Because every bit of this is about Jesus. This is what Peter is trying to tell them. And he closes with verse 18. And when they heard these things, they became silent. Remember, they were contending with him. They were giving him the what for. But when they heard these things, not what they heard before, but when they heard these things, they became silent. And then they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. I love that. What could they say? They're having a hard time, though, and they're going to have a hard time. Clean up into our more chapters that we come to. See, God's word is full of exhortations for you and I regarding this one such verse. Why we are to receive one another. Josh has it in Romans 14:1.
Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not through disputes over doubtful things.
I love how the Message Bible translates this. And I love the fact that the Message Bible is shortened with three letters, MSG, right? Things that we have to stay away from, right? I mean, you realize why Colonel Sanders puts MSG in their chicken, right? And Chinese food and all these things that you can't satiate yourself with because it's a chemical design to make you want more and more. So the good thing is that the Message Bible, although it's a paraphrase, it's not a literal word for word, but listen to how it responds to that. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way that you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. You receive somebody who's weak in the faith. And don't dispute with them over things. I was so guilty of that when I started hearing things that were not right. I'm like, oh no, this is what the Bible says. And then I got my own dose of it when I got to Los Baños because I had guys that really were after that. They would study the word, not to come to learn the study, but to attempt to correct me. And that's easy. There's only so much study that you can do that you have to disseminate, right? Some people say, well, isn't it also this? Yes, you're right. Why didn't you say that? Because I have to know who my audience is. I have to teach to the audience that God has given me. But don't contend with them. Each and every one of us is in the growing stages, are we not? Well, let me rephrase that. Each and every one of us should be growing spiritually, right? So how do we do that? It won't happen, watch this, lest you think I am a heretic. It will not happen by just attending a Sunday service. I can already see some of you like, whoa, you don't know my pastor. Let me rephrase that. In order to be able to grow in the word, we need to be in a place that teaches you about Jesus and not about traditions. To be in a place that teaches you about the word of God and what God's word says. It won't come just in attending. You know how I know that? How many of us have gone to church, and I'll be the first one to make you feel comfortable, have gone to the church and did not even hear a word that was said, right? Well, I'm going to learn at church. There have been times when I did because I was paying attention. But too often, and I guarantee you, sitting in the pews, I know, just like right here, right now, some people are thinking about those brownies that are in there and the coffee, and I know that because I'm that way. Lee goes, why you got to front me off like that? But to be in a place where the Bible is being instructed, like an inductive study, to come in and to be able to sit down, it's like a class, and to learn how to properly, inductively study the Word of God is so important. That's how you learn. Now, you could just sit there and listen to sermons or podcasts all day long, but then you're going to need to have discernment to know, is this person giving me the right information? How do we know? How do you know I'm giving you the right information? Because you need to pick up the Word of God. If you go to a podcast and listen to a podcast that's different from what I said, doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means it's different. Each of us as teachers do not say the same thing. At least there's some that do. We shouldn't say the same thing. So if your heart is that you're going to repeat what you heard, then you're really no different than the religious people here that Peter's dealing with. Peter, don't you remember our tradition? We're not supposed to eat with them. Well, you know what? They got saved. What do you guys say about that? They're all saved. They're just like, and then he uses the words, the gift just like we received. It's the same thing. Who are you to contend with God? And what I love in that is that we get an opportunity to develop habits of how to learn how to study the Bible. And then when you come to a study, I guarantee you, you don't just come and you listen and you write notes. You're going to go home and you're going to, you know what, I really want to know what that means. I want to know what that means for me. It was a joy to sit under a lot of different teachers that I had. And my Bible's marked full of dates and things that I heard and learned and relearned because I learned the wrong thing. But I'm so thankful that God has got me to a place that His Word means everything to me. Without this, I don't exist. Going back again, and I believe that's one of the reasons why God let me get out of the house this week for 5 days. It started out in 1 day. And then, Al, if you could do 2 days, that'd be great. I'm like, man, I think I can last 2 days. And then the third day came, and I was like, man, I don't know, but I'm going to go. But then the fourth day, when Josh had those puppy dog eyes, like, Al, you really could be a lot of help to it. I'm like, okay, I'll be here. And then the fifth day, you know what I learned out of all that? You can get so insulated in where you're at that you don't realize what's going on out there and what's going on around you. And it's the same way with the Word. You can get so insulated with the things of life, pain, suffering, sorrow, or maybe things are going good and you're just traveling all over the place. But you get so caught up in the things of life that the Word of God takes second place now. And then when it gets dark at 5 o'clock around here, then we wonder why things are the way they are. It's a long winter here, isn't it? But as long as the Lord, as long as the light of Jesus is shining in our hearts, it will help us to get through those times, to enjoy days like this with one another. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Peter, Lord.